If you have your Bible, I want you to turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is my text for this morning. It could well be the introductory text to every message that I bring in this whole series on the subject of Christian stewardship. Now, I began last Sunday this series on Christian stewardship, and I knew these young people would be here this weekend, and I thought, well, maybe I ought to depart and have a special message just for young people. But I'm not doing that because that which I want to say this morning and that message, that emphasis of Christian stewardship applies so much to young people, the same as it does to adults. And so I've not changed the message this morning, but I trust that God will speak to your heart whether you're young or old, or whether you're a visitor or you're here every Sunday, whether you're a Christian or whether you're here outside of Christ. Now, as I said last week, when I talk about stewardship, some people begin to get nervous because they immediately think I'm going to talk about money. Now, I will talk about money, there's no question about it, because that's part of it. But I'm sure if you were here last Sunday, you were surprised to realize that I said hardly anything about money. Now, you can sit back and relax, because I'm not going to say much about it today either. And there's a whole lot of things that need to be said before you get to that aspect of Christian stewardship. The Bible doctrine of stewardship has so much more to do with a whole lot of other things other than money. We've been looking at them, and we're going to do so. In fact, unless you as a Christian begin to understand what the Bible teaches about Christian stewardship, you'll never understand what the Bible says about giving, and you'll never be able to give in the proper way. In fact, you may be even a little offended at what I'm going to have to say about money when I get to it. But you've got to understand what the Bible says about the principles of Christian stewardship if you're ever able to give in the right way. As I pointed out last week, the word steward in the Bible, and by the way, I looked it up this morning, the word steward or stewardship occurs, I think I counted 11 times in the New Testament. And it's the Greek word oikomenos, and it comes from two Greek words. One's oikos, which means house. The other is meno, which means to serve or to minister. And so they're put together, and the idea is one who is put in charge of another individual's household, and from that it came to mean someone who is entrusted with anything. Jesus gave a number of parables about this. I want to emphasize two things. First of all, as I've already said, stewardship in the Bible speaks so much more than just about money. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister as stewards of the grace of God, minister to one another. There it's talking about spiritual gifts and the ministry of spiritual gifts. It's talking about your stewardship of the gifts which God has given you. I quoted last week from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, and 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11 says about the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. The Bible teaches that Christians have been made stewards, caretakers, responsible to God. We've been made stewards of the most precious message that men will ever hear, the gospel of Christ. As I said last week, I'm sure angels would have done a lot better job than the church has done for 2,000 years in proclaiming that message, but God seen fit that the message of the gospel is to be proclaimed by people who themselves are nothing but redeemed sinners, and He has put us in trust with that message. So unless you understand that the Bible, when it talks about stewardship, is talking about a whole lot more than money, you'll never be able to hear what the Bible has to say about money. The second thing I want to emphasize very clearly, and maybe I ought to do this in every message, is that stewardship, biblical stewardship, is only for those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's only for the child of God. It's only for a Christian. If you're here today without Christ as your Savior, I want to say that nothing you can do for God, no amount of money that you can give, no work that you can do for the church, no kindness or benevolence on behalf of humanity can ever merit your salvation or work your way to heaven. None of those things. The Bible teaches that salvation is by the grace of God. It's received as a free gift given by the grace of God and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ when He died on the cross on your behalf. As the gospel song says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. You see, you and I have got a sin problem. We've got an accountability problem before God because of our sin. The Bible teaches that God is holy, as I had out here on this sign last week. The Bible teaches that there's a holy God and there's sinful men. And only Christ could bridge the gap. So when I talk about stewardship, dear friend, if you're here today without Christ, I'm not talking to you. You're not ready for stewardship. Nothing that you can do, and no amount of money that you can give to this church, nothing that you can do in an altruistic way for humanity can ever earn your salvation or merit your acceptance with God. Jesus Christ paid that price for you. And the only way that you can be forgiven, the only way you can be right with God, the only way you can have eternal life is to come to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, asking His forgiveness, and receiving the gift of eternal life. Then you can be ready for stewardship. I want to emphasize that with every message. You're not ready to receive the message of stewardship until you've received Christ. Now, before we talk about giving money or anything else, there's one basic principle. I mentioned it last week, and much of what I'm saying today is a reemphasis of what I said last week. There's one basic principle of stewardship that you have to understand. As a Christian, here it is. When Christ died on the cross, He not only paid the price of our sin, but He bought us. He bought us. He purchased us. The Bible says that in so many places. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, verses I did not quote last week, where Peter says, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with silver and gold." You were not bought. The word redeemed there really means to buy out of the slave market of sin and set free. You were not purchased. You were not bought with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You were bought by the Son of God when He died on the cross. Paul said to the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, as he was bidding them goodbye, he said, "You take care of the flock of God over which God's made you overseers, that flock which God hath purchased with His own blood." As I pointed out last week, it was Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus was the Son of God, and it was His blood that not only paid the price of your sin and mine, but He bought us. And I suppose the best known passage of Scripture that speaks about this is 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, where Paul says, "You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The Bible teaches that when Christ died on the cross, He not only paid the price of our sin, but He bought us, if I may use the term, lock, stock, and barrel, the whole works. Body, soul, and spirit. And that basic principle is underlying to all the Bible teaching of stewardship, that you and I don't belong to ourselves. Our time, all our money, all our talents, our body, everything that we have has been purchased by our Lord. Belongs to Him. We're not our own. We're only a steward. We're only a manager of all that God's given to us. And furthermore, we need to recognize, and this is another important principle, that everything I am or have has been given to me and given to you as a gift of God's grace to be used for His glory and for the good of His people. Everything, not only did Christ buy us, not only were we bought by Him, but everything we have, everything that we are, every ability that we have, every talent that we have, every gift that we have, everything has been given to us by God to be used for His glory and for the good of others. And I say again what I said last week. For God's will for your life, young people, listen to me. I'm not calling them down. They all are listening to me. I'm just saying I sounded like I was bawling them out. I didn't mean that. I'm saying it's important to you to realize as you look forward to your life, God has given you, if you're a Christian, and you older folks listen to this as well, all that you will ever need to be all that God wants you to be in the place of His will for your life. I've said this before. I'll give you a clue. God never called me to be an artist, the drawn kind. I can play instrument and sing a little bit, but God never called me to be an artist. You know why? He didn't give me that gift. Somebody said, "I can draw flies," and that's about it, you know. I can't draw anything. God didn't call me to do that. God didn't call me to do that. I say again to every person here this morning, not only has the Lord Jesus Christ purchased you and me on Calvary's cross, we belong to Him, we've been bought by Him, but God has given us by His grace every gift that we need to be all that He wants us to be in this world, in this will, in His will for our lives. And I need to recognize that all I have is a gift from Him. And I'm not going to digress on this very long, but I said last week, my heart sometimes is heavy when I see Hollywood glorifying a muscle man or a beautiful woman, and see them in their sin many times. Or when I see an athlete in all of his ability, and I know an athlete or an actress or whoever, they must develop the gifts that God's given to them. I know that. Some people waste the gifts that God's given them. And I'm not minimizing the development of gifts. But my heart is heavy when sometimes I see and realize that these people whose gift has been given from God absolutely do not recognize it at all. In fact, sometimes dishonor God by it. I need to realize that my ability to think, your ability to go to work tomorrow morning at the job that God's given you by His grace where you can earn money, the power of your hand, the power to sing, the power to speak, whatever God's given you, is all by His grace given to you as His gift to you to be used for His glory and for the good of others. And somebody may say, what do you mean all I've got I earned with these two hands? Listen, friend, all God has to do is touch a little capillary right up here in your brain and you'll find out where it came from when it's gone very quickly. And now, He asks you and me to give it all back to Him. You see, slavery in the Old Testament was a bad thing. So slavery isn't bad any time. But the slave had been purchased. He was totally the responsibility of the master. The master would provide for him. Suppose that master would say, all right, I'm going to set you free and I'm going to give you everything you need to do what you need to do. Now I want you to give yourself and all you've got back to me. See, that's the difference. That's what God asks of us. He will never force Himself into your life as your Savior. And child of God, He'll never force Himself into your life as your Lord. He won't make you give those gifts back to Him. You can use them for your own gratification and your own satisfaction. And you can go against His will. You sure can. He didn't force us to receive Himself, to receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, because He didn't want a bunch of robots down here walking around knowing Him. One of those who choose Him. Neither does He force Himself into our lives as our Lord. He gives us our gifts. He gives us our abilities, every talent, every spiritual gift that He gave us when He saved us. He'll let us use them for ourselves, and He'll let us go on our own way, and He'll let us learn some hard lessons and all of that, but He wants them all back, and He asks us to give them to Him. And so I read words like I've preached from before. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. He wants your hands. He wants your brain. He wants your time. He wants your muscles. He wants everything. Present it as a living sacrifice. And after all, He says, isn't that your reasonable service? As I preached a few weeks ago, you'll find when you do that will of God for you is good. It's not bad. The devil will tell you it's bad. It's acceptable, and that means it's just what you've been looking for. And it's perfect, and that means it doesn't lack anything for completeness. Present your body. Present your time. Present your talents. Present your future. You young people here this morning, I want to tell you, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid of God's will for your life. In fact, just the opposite. Seek it above everything else in your life. Seek it more than anything else. Seek the will of God for your life. You don't have to be afraid of it. Remember, He's bought you, young person or adult, wherever, whatever station you are in life. Remember, He has bought you and He's provided every gift and ability for the place of His will, for you to be in the place of His will for your life. He didn't sell you short. God wants you. May I say to you young people, whether it's to be a businessman or a school teacher or a lawyer or an auto mechanic or a farmer. I don't know what it is. But God has prepared you. He's known all about you from the beginning if you're His child, and He has given you all the gifts and abilities that you'll ever need in this world to do what God's called you to do. Don't be afraid of His will. Whatever it may be. My wife and I were in Worcester a couple of weeks ago, Worcester, Ohio, in our son's church, and my son's oldest daughter's closest friend, her father, has a PhD in, I think it's agronomy, some agricultural field, and he's there at the Ohio Agriculture and Research Development Center, a large center outside of Worcester there. He's got a PhD in this agricultural field. And Bob was just saying, I've known him for a long time, Bob was just saying to me again that weekend, he said, you know, and I forgot the guy's name, mentioned it. He said, you know, he's committed. He accepted this position here at the OARDC because he is committed to use his education and his talents that God has given him as a Christian to better the eating conditions and the nutritional conditions and the agricultural conditions of the peoples of the world. That's what he feels God's called him to do. And he's traveled all over the world. He's traveled all over the world. There's a man whom God prepared in the field of agriculture, and he's given all his gifts and his abilities to the Lord to be used in the field where God has put him, and God's using him. I want to say, child of God, Christian, I don't care who you are, what field you're in. If you're right with the Lord and you've presented this body to Him and you recognize that you are only a steward of your life and your body and all the talents and abilities and spiritual gifts that God's given you, you recognize that you are only a caretaker of those things and have presented them to the Lord and are in God's will, then you are in full-time Christian service. You really are. You really are. And I want to say to you young people here today, I've said it from this pulpit before, to be right with God and in the will of God, you've got to answer this question as you face life. Lord, where and in what way do you want to use me in the spread of the gospel around the world? Because you see, God has called every one of us, He's entrusted every one of us with the gospel. It may be right here in Marietta, Georgia. It may be in Aiken, South Carolina. It may be wherever you live, and God will leave you right there and say, your field is next door in the next block, and those people that you work around with, that's where I want to use you. It may be that for some of you who are young, God will lead you and say, I want you to be halfway around the world like some of our missionaries are. But you've got to honestly, before God, ask that question. Where and in what way do you want to use me in the spread of the gospel around the world? Every child of God, as I said, I don't care whether you're an engineer, I don't care whether you're a teacher, I don't care whether you're a lawyer, what you are, but every child of God literally is in full-time Christian service. Now, I want to hasten on to say that for some, the will of God will be some of you young people, some of you young men here today. It'll be preaching the gospel. And maybe some of you young men have been going through the struggle of making that decision. God's Spirit has been speaking to your heart and striving with you about it. And you said, but I got my plans all laid out. And I've got what I want to do. And all of this. And you've been struggling about it. Listen, don't be afraid of the will of God. Be afraid to be anyplace else. For some of you, it will be missionary service. For some of you, it will be some other field. And I've struggled with the term full-time Christian service, because although I said every child of God in the will of God who's presented all of his body and everything to Christ as his Lord and recognizing these are all gifts from him to be used for his glory, every person in the will of God, right with God, is in full-time Christian service. I've struggled with that because Satan can cause a young person who's God's calling to preach or calling to missionary service to say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'll be in full-time service over here. I want to be a businessman, so I'm going to be a full-time servant over here. No. Some people, some men, some women, God will call to a special service of preaching or missionary service or as a Christian nurse on a mission field. Listen, young person, if God's dealing with you that way, don't fight against it. Don't struggle with it. Just present yourself to Him and He'll show you the next step to take. It may be education. It may involve a long process of preparation. It may be as you present yourself to the Lord for that, that's not what God wants you to do at all. He just wants your will. He'll show it something else after all. I don't know. Listen, people, Christian here today, all you and I need to fear is not the will of God for our lives. It's being out of the will of God. It's all we need to fear. Child of God, and I've got to hurry. If you're an adult here, maybe you're as old as I am, 110, but it's maybe you're most of your life's lived, already passed. Child of God, give Him what's left. I read a sermon one time on the God of what's left. Give Him what's left. Give Him what's left. Give Him all you got for whatever time you've got left. Recognize that what you now have, God wants to use in the spread of the gospel and the blessing of other people and the glory of God. Give it all to Him for whatever's left. You're only a steward. Don't be afraid of it. Why? Why all of this? Two reasons. Number one, because as I said last Sunday, one of these days, every one of us as a Christian is going to give an account of his life to God. We're going to give an account of our stewardship. In every parable that Jesus told about stewards and stewardship, there was always a time of accounting. Luke 16, Luke 19, you can look them all up. Paul said in Romans 14 and verse 12, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Listen, child of God, God's not going to bring you into account and say, well, you weren't a preacher that stood behind a pulpit, you didn't go to the mission field, you didn't do this or that, so it really doesn't make much difference. Listen, it makes as much difference whether or not you're in the will of God and you are the steward of those things that God has given to you and you're right, your life is right with Him. It makes just as much difference there as it does up here for me. And you're going to be held accountable for it. Don't be afraid of it, child of God. There's an old gospel song that says it's glory just to walk with Him. I'd rather be there than anywhere else. I really would. But the second reason why we need to present ourselves to Him as stewards and everything we've got is even bigger. It's even stronger motivation. That's this. Look what God gave up for you. Look what God gave up for you. Look what He presented for you. All three persons of the Trinity were involved in sacrifice, in presenting themselves in complete sacrifice. All three were involved in order to save you and me. The Father was. The most familiar verse in the Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I hear the words of Jesus there on the cross when He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Can you imagine what it was for the Father to give His own Son and to forsake His own Son for you? Oh, the pain of separation. Many of us have experienced it as we've watched family members go. First 2.5 years of our younger son and his wife, their marriage, they lived here and they were in this church. Then they went to Alaska. And there came a day when we had to say goodbye, and they drove off up the road toward Alaska. It was a tough time. We've had to get used to it. More than that, there are parents who, in the will of God, their children have gone out as missionaries to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, and maybe they see them only once a year, maybe not even that often, and that's a tough time. Separation. Most of this audience today is too young to remember back during the Second World War when sons were taken out of homes by the draft and were sent halfway around the world and some of them died. Those parents were separated from those sons and daughters. Oh, the pain of separation. I want to tell you, folks, our Heavenly Father knew His Son was going to die when He sent Him into this world. He that spared not His own Son. Look what the Father gave for Him. Look what the Son, the Lord Jesus, gave for you. He said on one occasion, "For this cause my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself." He gave it. He said concerning, as he approached the hour of his death, he said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He said, "But for this cause came I into the world. I came for this hour." Let me ask you something. What would it be like, you young people, as you look toward the rest of your life, all of us here, looking at our lives, what would it have been like if you, from the time of your birth, knew when you were going to die, you knew how you were going to die, and you knew why you were going to die? Jesus did all three. He knew when he was going to die, he knew how he was going to die, and he knew why he was going to die. He knew that he was going to die about 33 years from the time he was born. He knew he was going to die an agonizing death on a cross. And he knew he was going to die for people that hated him. I want to tell you, it's almost apart from a miracle of God that he could have even retained his sanity, humanly speaking. And yet he did. He did. And I want to suggest that the Holy Spirit, dear friend, look what He's given in order to redeem you and me. The Father and the Son is given. Look what the Holy Spirit's given. You say, "What did He give?" I'll tell you what He's given. He's given Himself. To be in this world for 2,000 years, to be grieved, to be quenched sometimes by God's people. He's been here to convict men of sin and to be resisted by sinful men. And the book of Hebrews says even to be insulted, and he hadn't left. He's still here. Why? In order that we might be forgiven and have a home in heaven. Listen. Why should I recognize that when Jesus died on the cross, He bought my soul? Why should I recognize that everything I am and have is a gift of His grace, James 1:17 says? And why should I give it all back to Him? Two reasons. One of these days I'm going to give an account, but more than that. Look what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit gave for me. That's why. That's why. I want to ask you, will you face this matter of stewardship? Maybe there's been an issue in your life about which you've been struggling as a young person or as an adult that's kept you from this. Maybe it's even been a sin. Maybe it's been something else that you've struggled with. Oh, child of God, I want to encourage you today. Don't be afraid of the will of God. Ask Him to cleanse you. Take that sin out of your life, whatever's kept you from it. Ask Him to cleanse you from it and take it out of your life. And then don't be afraid to present yourself, body, soul, spirit, time, gifts, everything, money, everything to Him and say, "Lord, I want to be only a steward and I want to be in Your will from this day forward. Lord, You can have it all." Don't be afraid. Here's my body, my life, my future. I give it all to You. I'm just a steward of everything that You've given me and everything You've planned for me, and therefore, Father, I want to give it back to You. And dear friend, if you're here this morning without Christ as your Savior, just look what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit did to keep you out of hell. The Father gave His Son, the Son gave His life, and the Holy Spirit has given Himself to bring you to the Savior. As I said in the beginning, there's no amount of money you can give to this church or any other philanthropic organization. There's no amount of work that you can do. There's no amount of humanitarian activity in which you can engage that can ever make you acceptable with God. The only thing you can do is come to Jesus Christ, the sinner before God that we all are. Cast yourself on Him and say, "Lord, today I want to receive You as my Savior. And I want You to give me that gift of eternal life that the Bible talks about." And Jesus said He wouldn't turn you away. And I want to invite you to come to Him. And may I also add this as I close. Maybe there's a young person here today, college student, high school, even younger, who's been going through a real struggle to answer some sort of call of God that you've been struggling with, to some sort of special service in your life. Maybe it's to preach. Maybe it's missionary service. Maybe it's some other area that I haven't mentioned, but you know God's been dealing with you about it, and you've been struggling against it. Don't do it. For that's the only place for which God has equipped you. That's the only place for which He's given you gifts and abilities. And believe me, that's the only place where you'll find joy. Don't be afraid of it. Let Him have it today. Let's bow our heads as we close the service in prayer. Child of God, would you give it all to Him now? The Bible says that you and I in this world are nothing more than stewards. He bought us. Everything we have is a gift from Him. Every ability, our mind, our body, everything that we have, every talent, it was all given to us by Him. And He wants us to give it back to Him, give it all back to Him, that we might be in His will and that He might lead us. Child of God, will you give it to Him today? Right there where you are in your seat. As I said, maybe there's somebody here today, young person or adult, has been struggling with something that's been keeping you from doing that. Maybe it's even some sin in your life. Oh, child of God, God help you to ask Him to forgive you. And say, Lord, here it is. Here it all is today. And friend, if you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, the only way that you can be ready to die and to meet God, to be ready for heaven, to be forgiven of your sin, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin. Will you do it right now, right there where you are in your seat? The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, and that means you.